Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and tonight I'm here to talk about everything that just happened on the episode, the Sunday night episode of Big Brother Canada 7. It's the April 21st. No, it's not March anymore, Taryn. The April 21st episode of Big Brother Canada 7. We just watched the nominations happen, and tonight I am joined by Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Doing good. You know, not too happy to be back home, but happy to be here. I got all my teeth in. Don't worry. I'm not going to drop any on you guys tonight.
Yeah, I don't need to be reminded.
They're all there.
We do not have Hamza. That is not the case. There was a cancellation that happened. So we have Bobby with us here tonight. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey guys, sorry to everybody. I'm not Hamza. I'm sorry to disappoint, I am happy.
Why are you the way you are, Bobby? Why can't you be Hamza?
You know what? I'll try. I'm sorry, Taryn. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm here for the team.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get to, you know, maybe more reasons why later, but Hamza definitely got scared and backed out after after a certain little Twitter situation that we can address later in the show, right?
Probably.
Well, or maybe just a rough night of playing Sequester is probably didn't help.
Well, we are here to recap the episode that we just watched of Big Brother Canada 7. So we saw to start the episode, we saw that, you know, Corey had gone home. Adam was like, Adam found the secret assassin power. And he was like, I got to use this power. It was very dramatic, Matt. Very dramatic.
I mean, that's we've come to expect the dramatics from this Mr. Announcer guy, especially this season. I feel like he's amped it up a notch. I don't know.
Yes. And really, I think like the whole first half of this episode is focused on the fallout of Corey's eviction and then the, you know, HOH and then more fallout. And then the nominations seemed kind of like a little bit tacked on there at the end, especially once we get through the Marsha task, which I really don't want to talk about. But ultimately we see these ultimate nominations here, Damien and Esty. It's not looking good for Damien and Esty here, Bobby.
Yeah, no, it's funny to watch, you know, they really did just push all that back. Cause we needed the teeth scenario. We needed to see, you know, what was going on with Dane's teeth. Cause that was vital to the importance of the game. So yeah, Damien and Esty, that's where we left off.
It is. But first, we had to get Angry Anthony. Angry Anthony, he is very pissed. We saw right after the eviction, he's basically like, nobody's allowed to talk to me. And he kind of blows up on Kira. And then Kira goes and talks to Adam about it. And it's a whole big thing. And this happened before the HOH competition even happened. And he goes as far as to say, hey, Esty, we need to have some conversations. Hey, Kira, we need to have a conversation. I have some things that I need to tell you guys, but I want to wait and see who wins HOH first. That's a bold move here, Matt.
This is the first time all season, maybe, that Anthony hasn't gotten his way, you know, with the ultimate decision with Corey going home here. So it was pretty obvious, you know, when feeds came back. But I just from watching what happened in between, the part that we didn't get to see on feeds, that he was just very upset. He was trying to play it off like he was calm and cool. And like you said, he was not willing to have these conversations just yet. You got to wait until you see who wins HOH. So we decide what information is going to go in what direction. But yeah, it was a different side of Anthony, him trying to like hold in all of the anger that he had and him trying to stay calm despite, like I said, first time in the game, things just did not go the way that he pushed for.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed to me based on this edit that Anthony is basically telling us in the diary room, I'm ready to blow this thing up. I'm ready to blow it wide open. I'm ready to take a shot at what we know from the feeds prior to the eviction that he's been talking about taking a shot at Dane, that he is potentially willing to try and win this HOH. And I don't know what kind of information he wants to reveal to Esty and Kira, but it does seem like he wants to potentially take a shot at Dane if he wins this thing. Is that what you got from this too, Bobby?
Yeah, no, it was super weird. Anthony's the kid that didn't get what he wanted for Christmas, and he just throws a fit and throws everything. I didn't get this. This isn't what I wanted. And so it's funny to see him you know, try to play it cool, be like, you know, we'll talk after we see what happens, so, you know, after the HOH. And to watch him talk about what he wants to do, I think, honestly, I think Dane got really lucky. Even though he threw that HOH, I honestly think it would be a whole different week right now if we had an Anthony HOH.
Yes, so we do get to this HOH competition, and they have to horizontally stack boxes while dressed as in delivery people. I thought this was an interesting premise for a competition. It seemed, again, sort of more like something Survivor would do than Big Brother, but obviously very Big Brother-ified, where boxes stuff.
A Survivor challenge with balancing and holding things in a certain position does not sound like Survivor. I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't sound right.
We're just missing balls. That's all we are missing.
Yeah.
It's boxes instead.
You balance a ball on each box as you go, and then whichever, if anybody's balls fall off. I thought it was a good competition. I thought it was fun. You know, Trevor Boris keeps things interesting, and, he takes, there's always just a design to it. There's always some kind of theme. I thought the outfits were actually kind of cool. I thought that they all looked pretty good. The only thing that I was confused about, and I didn't get to go back and look at it or anything, but all of them that were, you know, they were holding the boxes against the wall, were they adjusted to everybody's height, or were they all like the same level on the wall? Because I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I can't either. Especially when we saw the start of it on Thursday night, it didn't seem like it was adjusted. It seemed like they were all at the same height,
which is not good. Like that's a real disadvantage for the shorter people. Like that seemed perfectly positioned against Adam's chest, so he was able to just hold it, and Anthony as well. They were able to hold it pretty well in place. And Dane obviously was throwing this competition, but I don't think he would have been able to hold in much longer. He's a lot shorter than the other guys, and it seemed like everybody who was not as tall as Anthony and Adam was pretty much screwed from the beginning of this one.
Honestly, I feel like with Esty, how small she was, yes, she was at a disadvantage anyways going against these big guys, but this was a clear disadvantage for her when it came to height-wise with where the box placement was. I thought it was a total disadvantage for anyone short, and that's why we saw two of the biggest guys at the end.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say, I don't really mind that a whole lot, because I think that taller people are disadvantaged in a lot of competitions, especially something like an endurance competition. Certain ones, taller people are going to have a lot more trouble with it. So to give something that gives an advantage to a taller or heavier person, I don't mind in general. But I do think that this probably again harkens back to the discussion we've been having this season, where I think that maybe a little too many of the competitions are geared toward certain skill sets, and it's leading toward certain people winning a lot of the competitions. This is Adam's sixth competition win out of 10 competitions he's played in, and that is an absurd number considering there were 16 people overall, or 15 people overall, that have been in the house, and Adam has won 6 out of the 10 competitions he's been playing. I mean, that's just ridiculous, Bobby.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely insane. He's going for the record books. And honestly, I don't know if we'll see this kind of production from one alliance ever again. That many comp wins, and by one person, but towards one alliance. I don't think we'll ever see anything as dominating both the U.S. and or in Canada. To get that far and win that many, it's absolutely absurd. And I mean, I get it. The guy's athletic. He's a huge guy going against, you know, people outside of his alliance that are much different builds than him, but to do it in the way that he does and the different types of games that he wins, I think it's the most impressive thing of the season so far.
And you know what, Adam and Dane and pretty much all of the Pretty Boys have done well in taking out other players that are kind of, you know, showing competition ability along the way. The first week, Mackie, a big point in why he should go home is because he came so close in a competition and he could easily win something over Kira. Eddie came close in like one of the first competitions. Chelsea obviously won an HOH. Kiki won a veto, and the second that Kiki won the veto, the target became huge on her back, and it just spiraled from there. So, I mean, it's not like they're the only people that can win competitions this season, but the people who have won are all gone.
Yeah, and most of the time when those people have won, it's because either Dane or Adam weren't competing.
Also fair.
Yeah. Because that happens too. And after we saw Kevin Martin do his thing on season 5, I know I in particular was very much like, we're not going to see this again. They're going to change the competitions. And I feel like it hasn't happened. I had a conversation with Kevin about that. I still feel like maybe something needs to be adjusted. Obviously, they're not going to adjust something mid-season. That would be unfair. But hopefully moving forward, we start to look at the competitions. I think they're very well designed. I think a lot of them are very interesting. But I do feel like they are unfortunately favoring certain people over others, which is always going to be the case, but I do feel like the balance is a little bit off here as we see Adam take down another win in this competition. There were some wrinkles along the way. We had some temptations, a letter from home, you get to be a have and everyone else is a have not. We got a mystery box that didn't seem to impact the game at all because Adam still won despite the fact that he had an extra box, and, you know, stuff like that. Interesting little stuff to spice it up that would have been really fun to like spice up the competition had we been watching it on the feeds. But watching it on the episode, I felt like maybe just made it a little bit longer than it needed to be. I don't know about you, Matt.
I mean, yeah, it's also, I mean, it's the same kind of punishments that we've seen, or punishments or advantages, disadvantages that we've seen over the years. And I feel like, you know, we're kind of at a point where we've seen, something about slop, something about a letter from home. Like, I feel like there's something else that we can get creative with and add here, like an advantage, a disadvantage, something that'll like impact the competition directly, impact the week. I don't know. I feel like they could add something to make it a little more fun for the game. But I mean, it's, it's not like this is they didn't do anything bad. It's just kind of like the same level that we've been at. And I don't know.
In my opinion, I thought this was the best part of the entire competition, just getting to see who's going to risk their game to be able to take this advantage. Now, I thought with the letters coming out, I think no one was going to take that because that's just the obvious thing not to take. Yes, it's hard and yes, it's emotional, but would have been cooler if they could bring out one member of their family and you can see them, but you can't speak to them. I would have been really interested to see who would have dropped to go and see them in person. I think that would have added a lot more drama to it. And as for the slot pass, why in the hell didn't Dane take it? Like, there was just no reason. You're throwing this competition anyways. SD right next to you takes it. And I know he admits to it later on that, I understand. Why didn't I take it? Why, now I'm on slop all week. But in that moment, I get you're in the game mode, but be smarter. Like, there's just no reason not to take it there.
Yeah, I think part of that is that he didn't want to show everyone that he was throwing. He wanted to like pretend that he was trying to win. And also he was very upset that he didn't take the letter. So I'm sure part of him was like, if I didn't take the letter, I can't take the slot pass or whatever it was, because I've already declined one thing. Sort of like he says to Esty, like, I can't believe you turned down the letter and took the have thing, because obviously one is way more valuable than the other. So he's already set his price for not taking a thing, and so to actually then take it, I feel like goes against that and makes him feel even worse that he didn't take the initial thing, I think. So that was probably something to do with it there. But Dane, I do believe, is still making correct decisions for the most part here, throwing competitions, really starting to get the target off of his back. As Adam wins his sixth, Dane is still down at three, this could benefit Dane moving forward. As I talked about, Anthony and Mark are still kind of aiming toward Dane instead of Adam at the moment, but you have to imagine that at some point they're going to think, why are we targeting Dane instead of Adam when Adam has won so many more competitions? It hasn't happened yet, but I feel like it's got to at some point, right, Matt?
I 100% agree. I think Dane, I've been saying for a while now that Dane had no need to win any of like the past few competitions. He has no need to win probably the next few. I mean, the double eviction's a little trickier because, you're in the heat of the moment. You're terrified. Your game could end within seconds. So, I do think that Dane is like one of the number one candidates to win the double eviction HOH, just because most of the competitions that happen in that kind of quick, those episodes, like, probably favor him. And I just feel like the adrenaline might kick in and he's just going to be like, well, let me just win this one and work on what I can next week. But I think, even if he doesn't win it, I think he's fine. The Pretty Boys have been controlling the competitions. The only people left, after this are going to be two other people probably that aren't great at competitions. So, assume another Pretty Boy wins the double eviction, Dane should be fine. And then, you get to final five, final four, start winning again, but you don't have to make any enemies along the way. So I think he's been doing fine with that.
Yes. And I did enjoy watching him throw it while you know, trying to pretend that like he wasn't throwing it, like kicking his leg up was very funny. Sticking his tongue out. He's a very funny person to just like physically watch.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't say like, Dane, part of your Martian mission is you have to take your teeth out while holding the boxes there, throw your teeth at someone, try to make them fall. Luckily that did not happen.
That would have been more entertaining than the actual Marsha competition or quest that we saw.
Yeah, everybody like gets another box and they have to open it while they're pushing it, and the inside the box is another set of teeth.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News and World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So ultimately, this comes down to Anthony and Adam. And Adam immediately tries to start making a deal. Anthony not taking it. He seems very determined to try to win this and I guess take a shot here at Dane. And he's saying, no, you know, you drop. You're safe if you drop. But I want to see my mom. I want to have this happen. You know, if you drop right now, you and somebody of your choosing will be safe. That I felt like was a mistake. Definitely brought back bad memories for Adam. You don't want to give him the exact same deal that you that the person that you claimed you controlled went back on. Probably not the best idea here. And so Adam rightfully is like, not going to make that mistake again. I want to stick in here for a little while here, Bobby.
Yeah, he wasn't going to fall for the same trick twice. Like, I get Adam's not the brightest, you know, tool in the shed, but still, he's not going to fall for the same trick that, you know, ended up getting Sam to go home. But yeah, no, I think that kind of gave him extra motivation, because maybe that implanted something in his head that, well, now can I really trust Anthony? Because, he, you know, they did say this to me before and it turned on me. So maybe that's why he kept going as much as he did. But I think it just was extra motivation to keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, that would be like if Dan Giesling a week after replacement nominee roulette was like, hey, wait, this time for real, though, I'll let you choose my nominations. Seriously, I promise. So ultimately, we see Anthony drop and Adam becomes the next head of household. And that's not the end of the fallout, though, because we're going to show them walking back inside as Anthony kind of storms through and he's very upset and he is, you know, he's pouting. And then we're going to do a little bit of a time jump and we're going to go straight to Anthony sits right down on the floor in front of Kira and says, hey, I'm going to whisper. And I'm going to sit down here below you so that you don't think I'm being intimidating or overbearing or whatever. Then we start this sequence of high drama here, Matt.
I like it makes my blood boil having you reenact it right in front of me. I tweeted something about this a few weeks ago, just watching Anthony talk to don't even know. Oh, he was talking to Adam. This was a couple of weeks ago when he was talking to Adam in the bathroom about how Adam is. You know, causing chaos for the team or whatever it was. I don't even remember. And I was like, if Anthony ever talked to me that way and I was in the house, I would not be able to contain, you know, to contain myself. I wouldn't be able to stop myself from going off on him. So yeah, I'm sure it'd be good TV because you'd get a fight, but I wouldn't be able to just sit there and let him talk to me like that. If he sat down on the floor in front of me like that and just started being so condescending, I'm going to just sit here and I'm not going to try to be intimate. Like, shut the up. Like I would not be able to deal with that. Props to Kira for, you know, controlling their emotions as best as they could and trying to stay calm. I would not have been able to do it.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. I couldn't even, just watching it, I couldn't even control how frustrated I was getting. Like, seriously, what is with this guy? Like, is this how he is in his everyday life, or is this Big Brother Anthony? Because it's getting to the point now where we've seen it week after week after week. He's so condescending to people. I just don't know how he's not like that in his normal everyday life. And I can't stand it. It's very frustrating to watch. And for a game perspective, how is that good gameplay? How is that smart? And the fact that he hasn't gotten more trouble for it than he has, like the fight with Kira was the biggest fight we've seen because of the way he's been talking to people. I know he's in Alliance and that kind of helped him, but man, I'm right there with you, Matt. If he did that to me in the house, I would lose it.
Yes, I don't like to speculate about like what how they're like outside of the house. The Big Brother definitely, House definitely does a lot of things to you. I think in particular, as we've tracked with Anthony, that the power has definitely gone to his head here. But yes, I'm definitely on the same page in terms of like sitting down. Like it's basically, and he's done this before. Like, oh, I'm sorry if I intimidated you, or mm-hmm. you know this way of like sitting down in front of Kira. It's a way of mocking the fact that they feel intimidated. Like, oh, you're intimidated? Let me make fun of you for that. That'll make you less intimidated. It's like very like that's the opposite direction of where you should be going. And you know it, right? Like you're trying mm-hmm. to you like people feel like you're intimidating them, you're bullying them, and you, what your response to that is no. I'm gonna bully you into not thinking that anymore.
It's crazy, and you know how much I hate to bring up my preseason Anthony assessment because of how worried I was about it. But I mean, what I thought I saw in Anthony was a soft like teddy bear. I thought he was like, you know, he said he was a mama's boy, and I clung on to that when I was making my predictions about him. I was like, all right, this guy is gonna have a good social game. Obviously, what came next was completely different, or it was just a little unexpected. But I saw that he was gonna be able to connect to people. I didn't expect that he was going to be so like dominating over conversations and whatnot. And this is the kind of behavior that I don't think he's like this outside of the house, because I saw the soft side of him at the beginning of the season. The house does crazy things to you. The house gave him such a sense of power that he's had over these past few weeks. And he has had up until this eviction. He, you know, like I said, he's not gotten, he's gotten his way every single week, and this is the first time he didn't get it. He just lost in an HOH competition where he probably felt like he was seconds away from having full power again over the game, you know, not just in like theory, like actually like having the key and the room this week to be like, all right, I am in charge of the house. So he was seconds away from that. And we were saying this on the Thursday recap. It just felt like he was taking his anger out on Kira because he needed to direct it somewhere.
And I agree. I shouldn't have said that, you know, maybe he's like that on the outside house, because we don't know who he is. He's probably a very nice person, and the game does do crazy things to you. But it's just watching him, just seeing it week after week and week, I'm just very frustrated, because it's just not a good gameplay, and it's just not a good way to speak to people. Like, I just don't think you get your point across going that way. So yes. Maybe I shouldn't have said outside the house, but yeah, I agree. He's just, I thought he was going to be a certain way, and he's just been proving me wrong each and every week.
Yes, and this is just a complete meltdown here from Anthony. He walks away from this conversation thinking he did a wonderful job. On the feeds, he said, that was for you, Corey. That was for you. And it's a meltdown. He's talking about like, oh, you know, there's a reason I haven't touched the block. Kira. We see Kira eventually end up breaking out into tears. I mean, this is it's a meltdown. He did not get his way. We talked about this is basically one of the few times he has not been able to get his way. I think that the first time he was not able to get his way was the very first week when he wanted Damien out over Laura, and we saw the grudge he held against Sam, who he blamed for that vote all season long. So it's really just one thing after another here for Anthony, and really such a downfall here for his edit. And I'm glad that they finally, you know, attached this edit to Anthony a few weeks ago, because we finally were getting this arc that I think is really interesting on the show. And I think it's contributing toward the episodes really being a good product this season that I do think is representing the season well. And if it's going to be something that is watched on like a rewatch, or if you watch it after the fact, I do think that a lot of people might watch this season and be like, this is a pretty good season, Matt.
I have not heard Laura's name in a couple of weeks, so thanks for that. I forgot she existed. I agree with you. I think that Anthony's edit is really important to you know, we've been talking so much about the Pretty Boys, and we're going to for the rest of the season and for years to come, as long as Big Brother Canada is on the air, because of the impressive job they've done this entire season. Obviously, they are steps away from making the Final Four. Just it's a couple of days away at this point, a week or so, whatever it is. And you know, Anthony has been and continues to be one of the major, like if not the most important player of that group. So you know, it's obviously vital to the season, to the Pretty Boys, that we see what he's doing. And I mean, at this point, we've been questioning for a while, like, can Anthony win? Is he playing a good enough game with jury management where he's going to have anybody's votes at the end? And we're kind of seeing, you know, we talked about this. You know, is this conversation with Kira, which wasn't a conversation, more of a screaming match, is that earning him any kind of brownie points for a jury vote? Absolutely not. That's not making Kira, you know, want to go to jury house and talk to Sam and be like, oh, I loved Anthony, let's definitely vote for him. He's been great since you left. No, like, Corey's obviously going to be a vote for him. But when you look at the rest of the board, you kind of have to see, like, most of the Pretty Boys end up there, I feel like, at this point, if you want to see Anthony have guaranteed votes rather than votes that he's going to have to work for at the end. So the edit is perfectly backing up how I feel his game is headed.
Yeah, and I think the important piece here about Anthony's edit is that they are not afraid to change their mind on it. That initially he was being left out. They weren't showing his machinations on the edit. It seemed like either they heard feedback or they finally decided, you know what, we were wrong to not include Anthony. We're going to now include Anthony. And then they included him, and they were including him as the puppet master, the guy running the show, the guy that has sentimental family segments that they want you to be able to root for him in case he does really well in the game. And then he started doing this, and he's becoming even more of a villain than he even was before. And they're again saying, you know what, we were going down the wrong path with Anthony. Now we're going to show him as a villain. We're going to see him as a fallen hero, maybe, or however it is. And I feel like this is what's so important to the Big Brother edit, where Big Brother Canada in the past has been very reluctant to let go of their storylines, let go of their heroes. They try very hard to protect them and to make them look better than they are. And I think that it's very important that we're seeing this for what it is, and that we're really, being shown what's happening with Anthony, because it is such a dramatic and interesting rise and fall and rise again and fall again and all of that. So very, very glad to see this edit for Anthony. And that's basically going to be the whole first half of the episode. We don't get into any kind of like nomination talk until, like, I believe it was about the 30 minute mark when Adam was like, hey guys, who wants to see my HOH room?
Yeah, it was so far into that episode. I was like, are they ever going to get to it? Are we just going to have, you know, teeth and HOH competition the entire way? I was really starting to get worried that we were going to get no game talk until the very, very last 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah. And as for the HOH room, Adam's mom being Adam's mom, story checks out. That that video, she definitely created Adam Pike. I think his last name is Pike, and we keep calling him Pikes.
Yeah. Also,
checks out.
Those Skechers.
Oh no, they've had some good ones this season, but these were not good ones.
Not and good ones.
Also, saying they've had some good ones this season, also, that's like a low. There's a low bar to that. So I don't know. I think Danes in the first week were the only pair I liked. Haley Strong said her boyfriend actually, or yeah, there's the boyfriend, right? Her boyfriend. No, I didn't know if they got engaged. Everybody gets engaged. I don't know. Hi, Haley. Her boyfriend got a pair of the Skechers that Dane got the first week, and I like those too.
All right, so you're covering your bases in terms of not insulting Haley's boyfriend's shoes, but other than those, I think they've been passable. These ones are not passable.
They're not good.
we did see Adam take Dane to Wendy's, and who is there but the lovely Olivia from season 6, and she even did a ding dong with Adam, and I loved how excited he was about it.
They didn't even say ding dong.
Yeah.
Just dinged.
Well,
ding, no dong.
Hey, look, Olivia was the ding, Allie was the dong, so she can only do the ding.
But, I mean, she could have given a ding even if Adam didn't know to give the dong. Adam always gives the dong. This time he couldn't give the dong.
Hey, at least it wasn't bing.
Oh, right.
Sam would not be happy if she found out that Adam gave Olivia the dong.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I feel like he was very awkward about it, because I don't know if he remembered 100% how it went. So I think that she had to lead him into it, and he totally forgot how it went.
Well, hopefully we'll watch the whole segment. I don't know if it's out already. I don't usually watch them, but I will watch Olivia's.
I will watch all of Olivia's. Anybody from that BB Cancix house, give it to me.
Yeah.
I want to know when he went to talk to Dane and tell him that it was Olivia. I wonder how many takes it took for him to get to Olivia. Like that's the bigger question.
Well, that's the thing. They are both big fans, so I do think they probably understood. You know, and I think Dane would be excited to hear that that it was Olivia. You know, she was great.
Dane, you don't get to ding dong.
No, just ding.
Just a little ding, no dong.
Yeah. So
you did this all night.
Yeah, they apparently got a lot of food. I saw Olivia was like, "Man, you guys got a lot." They had he had 5 bags, 5 whole bags of food for 2 people.
Heron, he's been on slop. They need food.
I know. He's eating for the whole day.
Well, it's like when you get a large drink somewhere and you start to drink it and it's all ice. There's a lot less in there than what actually is in there.
That's why you don't get ice. It's all
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Or just
this
get water.
Had to be the most unimpactful Wendy's thing. They didn't talk at all afterwards. It was just, oh, here's the Wendy's. See ya. We did our product placement. Done.
They had a whole competition on Wednesday, which we didn't even watch because we were a little busy in Philly. But I went back and watched the episode yesterday, actually, and little did I know there was an entire comp for Wendy's. So
yeah, at least they got that in. Big burgers.
Yeah, I like the comps where they have to pour the sand back in. That's fun. But yeah, the burger landing with the fireman poles, that was fun.
Mm.
I don't know.
So that they do the HOH room. He gets the Skechers. They go to Wendy's. Now, finally, we're going to get into nomination talk. Anthony is going to push for Kira to go on the block, and Adam is more like, no, I'd rather Damien go on the block up next to Esty than put Kira up there. And so they have this conversation out by the hot tub. Adam walks away and he's like, I don't want to do this. Apparently, according to Mark, 20 minutes later, he's talking to Mark in the bedroom. And I just love this from Mark because he's definitely taking this from Anthony again, where he's like, whoa, hey, we just had an awesome conversation where you agreed to do what I wanted you to do. What's changing? No. What? We agreed. Remember that awesome conversation we had? Why are you going against it? You can't change your mind. You said yes. You wanted to do that.
Yeah, he's really become Anthony Jr. at this point. He's really, really just becoming the mold of what Anthony is. He's trying to be that.
With zero of the gravitas.
Exactly. No one takes him seriously.
Yes. And you know, Adam is going to do this a lot to Mark and Anthony. So I'm going to enjoy it. But yes, this is the conversation where Adam talks about, hey, look, it doesn't make sense for my storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just doesn't make sense for my storyline, Mark. You know, we talked about a storyline last week and it's really, Mark, you're going to be Mark of all people is going to say, oh, so it's, you know, wrong deed for wrong deed. Is that what we're doing? Am I just being punished for what happened in the past? That's exactly what you were saying to Adam last week. You monster. You hypocritical monster.
Which is why Adam's pretty much laughing in his face every time that it comes up. He's like, well, yes, this is not the storyline, or this is my storyline. And I love the fact that they included that word in the episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know, tonight or the other night, they include, you know, the storyline talk in the episode. That doesn't usually happen. So I'm glad that they're mentioning it because it has been a big part of what they've been talking about.
I wish they would do a montage of him saying storyline from last week and then bring it back to Adam using it against him and showing his reaction. That would have been the best part.
Yes. And of course, you know, you can't blame Mark for trying. It's just when it's just so blatantly everything that Adam was saying to you last week and you're using Adam's arguments. Mm-hmm. So Adam is, of course, dude. My storyline. But
some of the seasons Adam and Mark interactions have been my favorite, just because mm-hmm. Last week when Adam was talking about who he was voting out and Mark was like, all right, so we're still going to vote out Corey only if it's a triple this week and we vote out 2 people. Adam, you know, drops maybe. And then Mark has just got that blank stare in his face. The two of them together.
Yes. So then we get the whole scene where Adam talks to Kira about this plan. Kira is not okay with it, not on board. They would prefer to see Mark go straight up. And Adam's just like, let me just get Anthony in here. Kira's like, why? Yeah. Why? why Anthony? He's like, I don't know. It just makes sense. Like, of course, he's good at talking. He wants to protect Mark. You know this. He's like, okay, let me just get everyone in here then.
I mean, Adam's trying to play the middle here. He's trying to stay in between, you know, having Kira still by his side, and he's trying to still have the pretty boys by his side. So it makes sense that he's trying to put all of his cards out on the table and be like, listen, I don't want to do this. I didn't exactly, you know, mean to win because I don't want to put anybody up. I like you all, blah, blah, blah. You know, obviously it's just frustrating for Kira, because if Kira could have won this HOH, they might have put up like an Anthony and I don't know, Mark or something like that. So it's annoying. Yeah. So it's annoying to Kira that that Adam is still obviously working with them in front of them. But what are you going to do? It's, you know, they didn't win.
That might have been his best move, is to bring everyone in. I really think that there was nothing else he could have done that didn't bring light to the fact that, you know, oh, I wasn't trying to win this. And the fact that Mark wasn't there and they left him out really just brought, you know, the conclusion to everyone that this is the truth. This is what's happening. And I think that was his best move, was to bring everyone in, including Anthony, and have this discussion. Even though there's, you know, the storyline going on behind what's going to happen, just to see him do that, I thought that was the best move for his game.
Yes, and so he's going to orchestrate this farce where he pretends to, oh, I don't know what to do. We know, obviously, we're going to be backdooring Mark. Mark, by the way, knew this conversation was happening, which is why he was totally on board with just, like, being in the house by himself. Mm-hmm. And not interrupting the major, like, house meeting conversation. So they're having this whole thing, and it's like, oh, well, who's gonna go up then? If, you know, I want a backdoor Mark, and you know, and so obviously this ends up kind of landing on Damien and Esty, and that's where Adam is gonna go for with his nominations, Matt.
I mean, it kind of reminded me in a small way of like when Kira was getting the blood veto and they were all sitting out there trying to make a consensus about who was going to get the power. And everybody was just kind of quiet and let Kira eventually end up taking it. So this was, you know, Adam opened up the news conference and was like, here we go. This is what I'm thinking. And if anybody has any input they want to put out there, put it out there. But I feel like my only options here are to put up, you know, Esty and Damien. Esty and Damien didn't really jump in with any kind of, no, definitely don't do this. Don't pick me. I don't want to go on the block. So, you know, when they walk out of the room, how can they really be upset that they're going up when they didn't really give much of a fight? So, I mean, I really thought that this was great for Adam, like Bobby said.
Yes. So there we go. Damien and Esty on the block. Damien says, it's my fourth time. Feels like it just happened. I don't know what's going on in this house. I just keep going on the block. Esty, third time in a row for her. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I tweeted this a couple days ago. Esty and Damien, the two of them are combined for 7 nominations. When you add in Kira, it brought them up to 10 nominations between the three of them. And then, you know, you have the rest of the pretty boys who are still sitting at a lovely 3, not counting Adam, or something like that. 2 yeah, or 3 or something.
Like 10 nominations, 0 wins versus 3 nominations and 10 wins. Something along those lines, right?
There might be a pattern here.
Yeah.
Such absurd how one-sided the stats have been this season. Like, we'll probably never see that again.
If we keep with these kinds of competitions, I expect we'll see this almost every season, to be honest.
Remember last season, somebody won who didn't win a single competition until the very end.
That's true, but that doesn't change the fact that the stats were lopsided even after that.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you're looking for some hope, you know, the couple of Esty fans out there or, you know, Kira fans, there's still a chance.
Yes. Why not? So that's about where we end this one for the episode. But we do have some spoilers to talk about. So if you are going to bounce out now, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Terran. Matt is at Matt Liguori. Bobby, where can people find you?
At Goodsby Bobby. That's GoodsbyBobby.
There you go. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, where I will update you on everything happening today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then slight schedule change. We will be live Tuesday night with this week's roundtable. We needed to switch some things around for to get it to you live. So we will be updating the stock watch on Tuesday and recapping the week there. It will be 9 p.m. Eastern, just like always, just on Tuesday instead of Monday. So watch out for that. And then, of course, Thursday, we will be back to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7. And not just an eviction, double eviction.
Wah, wah, wah.
Ooh. So there you go. Thank you for joining us. It's time for the spoilers. So here's your chance to get out of here and leave. Because now we're going to talk about the spoilers. Matt, we had a veto competition. What happened?
We did. And like I said, keep hope alive for these zero competition people, because next thing you know, Damien wins a veto.
Boom. Now, important thing to note is that Damien won a veto with Adam not competing and Dane throwing the veto. So okay. Damien beat Kira, Esty, and Mark in a physical slash puzzle veto, from what I understand. So
Damien won a veto. Everybody celebrated. No matter who the competition was, we're just happy for Damien.
Yes.
Damien,
yes.
On a very great national holiday in Canada and all over the world, Damien got to celebrate in his own way in the house.
Everyone else had weed brain, man. It was perfect. It was a perfect timing for this to happen. You know, Rafi's curse went away for one brief moment, and it was beautiful.
Yes. So there you go. Damien is going to win this veto, which now means that the rest of the pretty boys need to come up with, how are we going to handle this? Damien's going to take himself off the block, and we are going to be in a situation where Adam has to replace him. And so obviously, Adam has been saying that he's going to replace him with Mark. And Mark is going to be backdoored, but Adam was doing some work with Kira prior to the veto competition, and Mark had been doing some work as well to get Kira on board with keeping Mark around. So they're talking about this, who should go up. Mark suggests it should be Dane, and for a little while he kind of has them convinced that maybe Dane is the better choice, but ultimately it will come back around on Mark, but not before they decide, you know what, in order to really sew up the vote here from Kira, in order to really grab it and make sure we have it, secure it, we're gonna bring Kira in to a group meeting of the pretty boys and say, hey Kira, what do you think about a top five? And Kira says, deal. F yeah.
So to recap, we've spent all season long with Kira speculating with Chelsea, with Sam, with Kiki, with whoever. There might be a guys' alliance. No, there's not. No, the guys might be working together. No, there's not. Probably not. No, Chelsea just made that up. That wasn't a real thing. Kira walks into a room, has all four guys sitting there waiting for them to, or not waiting for them. Kira just walks up or whatever it was. Hey, Kira, you want to be in an alliance with all four of us? We'll make the final five. Kira, absolutely. I'm down. This makes total sense. I'm in. No questions asked.
Yeah, man, I still don't think Kira thinks that there's a final four guy alliance. Like, they're in this alliance now, and I still think that they have a good spot in this alliance. Like, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. Now you're a part of it, and now you still, they said that they thought that it was something was going on, but to watch it, I just don't understand why you wouldn't come to this conclusion and do something about it.
Yes, Kira kind of hasn't, sorry.
Well, I didn't see this, but I did see a tweet about it, so I can't validate its authenticity quite yet. But tune in tomorrow for the live feed update. But I do believe that that at one point today, Kira was like, "Hey, so can I do this thing now?"
Oh no!
Doing the pretty boys hand signal, and they were like, "No, that was never a real thing," and they were like, "Really?"
Oh no.
I think the thing here is that Kira thinks that they are being included in the thing. Adam has always said, I want to get you guys to work with the boys. And so I think Kira now believes that they are working with this, whatever it was, and that they have an in. And more importantly, Dane smartly decided, you know what, I'm going to get ahead of this too to make sure that Kira feels comfortable. Let's make a final three with Kira, Adam, and myself so that Kira feels like they will be taken down past the final five toward the final three. And obviously from that point, Kira is going to feel pretty comfortable that both guys will take them to the final two, at which point they will lose. But hey, that's better than nothing. At least they're being included in something here, Matt.
I'm starting to wonder, and I think we've maybe speculated about this for a while now, like whether or not Kira thinks that they have any chance to actually win the game. Because if Kira thinks that they're playing for second place at this point, I guess, you know, jumping into this group isn't the worst idea, because, you know, you have to think that once you get down to the five, that Adam is going to want Dane out, Dane's going to want Anthony, whatever, that these guys are not going to be stupid enough to go to Final Four together. I mean, in reality, they are stupid enough to go to Final Four together. But Kira might be thinking that, you know, they'll take each other out, and then Kira has an easy path to just sit in the final two. And I don't know if they think that they have a chance to win at that point or what. I don't know. But Kira hasn't been terrible at this game all season long. They've been in a bad spot because of, you know, all of their allies going out, with Chelsea first, then Sam. You know, they've had no position of power the entire game, but they've had decent reads on things going on in the house. You know, Kira knows what Anthony's been up to, and obviously that blow up just happened. So, you know, they're not a stupid person. It's just I can't imagine what makes Kira think that accepting this deal and actually trying to, you know, and we have a lot to be seen this week, whether or not Kira goes through with evicting Esty, or if maybe Kira changes their mind and says, let me work on getting Mark out instead. You know, there's still a couple of days left, but you have to think, if I'm Kira, I want Esty and Damien in the house as long as possible, because I might not be able to win many competitions, but neither can they.
Yes.
If you're Kira, sorry, but if you're Kira, you have to think you're 5-5. Even though they're coming to you saying, oh, you're going to be 3 now, that you can't take that for what it is. You are the last one into that alliance. So for them, the best move is to keep Damien and Esty in this game. The two that you know for a fact have nothing to do with this alliance. So even if you question it one bit, you might be 3, you might be 2, you might be, who knows? If you question it just a little bit, keep the people that you know for a fact are out, and they're part of your numbers. It's just, that would be the best way going forward. I just don't know if they'll think about it and make that move.
I mean, they definitely trust Adam. That's the thing. They don't believe that Adam would screw them over. They think that even if there is something going on with the four of them, that Adam and Anthony are obviously at odds. Why would Adam choose Anthony over them, especially when Anthony's going to be much more difficult to beat than they are? Obviously, not only does it make more sense game-wise for Adam and Dane to take them to the final three, but it makes sense on a personal level as well, that they like Adam more, Adam likes them more, so same thing with Dane, or at least so they think. And so from their perspective, it makes a lot of sense. They've also expressed interest in removing the other final two goats from the game in order to ensure their place as that person that gets taken to the end. Making sure that Esty leaves does kind of ensure that they will remain safe, because they feel pretty confident that nobody's going to take the time to actually take them out of the game. And I do think that under normal circumstances, this is a pretty decent read, and honestly is probably their best shot at getting to the end and potentially winning the game, because getting there is half the battle. And if you can't get there, then you don't have any shot of winning. And if you do get there, then there's a decent chance that maybe there's going to be bitter people against you, or against the other person. So I, under normal circumstances, I do think this is probably the best move for their game. The only problem is that these guys might, and the key word there is might, actually stay loyal at the final five down to the final four. And that's because this is more than just your ordinary four person kind of deal thing. This is a day one, we want to be the brigade, we want to leave a legacy kind of thing. And that's the motivation that Kira is not seeing. And I do think that motivation is only there for Adam and Dane. I think that Mark and Anthony are very, very willing to turn on Adam and Dane. And so in that instance, this is again kind of beneficial for Kira. But at the same time, I do think that what they should be doing, and really the better move altogether, is that with Mark going on the block, Dane wants to vote for Esty to stay. Now, that would mean that Damien and Dane vote for Esty to stay. Kira and Anthony vote for Esty to leave. Adam breaks the tie and evicts Esty, which means they're relying on Kira's vote to send Esty home because Dane wants to keep Esty's jury vote. He doesn't want to have to vote against her. Now, Kira can, and they are worried that they might, switch their vote at the last second without telling Dane and send Mark home. If that happens, then they will have taken their game into their own hands, their life into their own hands. I do think that means that they have a better shot of winning when it comes down to the final two, but their path to the end might be more difficult. But we know from you know, watching the Pretty Boys that their path to the end is already pretty difficult. So I do think this is the better move for them, but they're probably not going to make it, Matt.
Yeah, it's hard to see, like you said, it's hard to see them making it just because, you know, if Adam is still insisting that Mark stays, I don't really see Kira trying to get on a different page from Adam. They've been so loyal to each other for the past few weeks. It's hard to see Kira being like, you know what, you know, let me go off on my own and make my own move, even though they might know in the back of their head that this is the better move for them. I think this week is one that could be especially close. Last week it was obvious, you know, and the Sam week, it was obvious that Sam was out the door since the second she got up on the block. With Corey going up, it was pretty obvious those three votes were always going to go in Corey's direction, no matter where Anthony was. But, you know, the situation here is that you have two votes locked that are going towards Mark from the Pretty Boys, and then towards Esty from the Pretty Boys, and then you have Damien that seems pretty likely to want to keep Esty. Dane obviously said he wants to keep Esty. So if we are stuck in this 2-2 lock for the next few days, that's a lot of power to be in Kira's hands. And when you realize that you have that much power, I have to hope that it makes them think and double think and triple, you know, a million times. Just what are you doing? You are at the final few weeks of this season. If you want to have any shot of winning a competition, you need to get Mark out. So I don't know if they're going to do it, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on the next few days.
And 100%, just like you said, what's your big move of the game, Kira? What is your defining moment? This could be that. Now, granted, I think it might be a little too late, but you've got to do something stapled and be like, yep, that's what I did. This would be that moment. And unfortunately, I think Adam has them snowballed. I think he knows what to say to Kira to convince them to do what he wants. And I think they're so loyal at this point that they know that that's what they want to do. But if someone can get in their ear and tell them, listen, this is your defining moment, this is what you need to do, I think we could have a game changer on our hands. And I think everything can unravel come double eviction. I feel like this double eviction couldn't come at a better time. If something like that were to play out, it'd be very, very fun to watch.
Yes. However, if Mark stays, I think we're also looking at a potential game changer. We know that for a long time, Mark has been waiting for the triple eviction to make his move against the Pretty Boys. Now, we know the triple eviction is not coming, but the double eviction is the next best thing. And throughout the week, Mark and Anthony have been contemplating, if we did get Dane on the block, we would have the votes to evict him, probably. I mean, we're not going to do it, but just saying it out loud, they, again, as I talked about before, have contemplated taking a shot at Dane even before this week happened. I really feel kind of confident that if Mark wins the double eviction, he may take the shot at Dane. Now, the problem for him is that it's a very decent chance he misses that shot. I've been thinking about it. And in order to evict Dane, he would need to put him up against Adam on the block. So you have to piss both of them off. And then Kira and Anthony, you only need two votes to evict, I believe, here in the double eviction. And so he would need Kira and Anthony to vote for Adam to stay. Dane would leave. But if even just one of them wins the veto, if Dane takes himself down, then Kira and Dane vote to keep Adam over Damien because they need Adam as numbers at that point. If Adam takes himself down, Adam and Kira vote to keep Dane and they evict Damien. So it's a very risky shot here to take because then at final five, you've got Adam and Dane who are both eligible to win HOH. gunning directly for you, Mark, who is not eligible to win HOH, and Anthony is your only protection. So we could be in for some drama here, Matt, heading into the double eviction.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about the double eviction comps, like I said, it was Dane seems like a top contender to potentially take it down. But if it's not Dane, you know, look at Damian, look at Mark. They're similar sizes. If it's something, you know, running back and forth, they could possibly, you know, be in contention. So, you know, I would agree it's not as clear cut as we might think it is that, you know, especially now with if SD potentially goes home and you have Kira, who's, you know, they still don't want to touch. And you have Damian, who is going to be like the target, you know, quote unquote, going into the double eviction. You know, if you get someone like a Mark that wins, we could be in for some fun. But it's still hard to say because I would have expected that, you know, to be the case when Mark won a couple of weeks ago. You know, he had all the opportunity in the world to potentially do something, and SD and Damian were on the block. So, you know, it's hard to put much faith in him. But like you said, he's been waiting for the triple slash double, and time is coming. So we'll
yes.
see.
I agree with you, Taryn, when you say that. Oh my gosh, I blanked on what I was going to say, that Dane was going to win, or, you know, go into it throwing the HOH this week, but now he, you know, knowing it's a double, he's probably going to go in full impact and try to win something. I think that if someone other than the Pretty Boys were to win this, I think that it could go all different ways. I really do think that it will be one of the more wild episodes we've seen all year if someone, just one person, I'm looking at you, Damian. I'm looking at you, Kira. Just win something. Kira, maybe not as much, but Damian, I know I'm a Damian homer. Please, one time, just one time, give us something.
You know, I'm worried though. I feel like we're in a, you know, the past few seasons, double eviction in BB Can 5, the French Connection went out. BB Can 6, you had Johnny and Olivia followed Ali out the door. It feels like these duos and trios are going out at the same time. So I'm just terrified that if SD goes out, Damian is like 100% going out right after her because they've been linked together. I don't know if it's a curse or not, but it feels like fate.
I think he's one of the more likely evictees here in the double eviction. But I, you know, again, thinking about Mark or Anthony, if Anthony won, and their ability to take a shot at Adam or Dane, in particular Dane next week, it really is underlining the, like, how bad it was for them to lose Corey, because they are really in a tough spot now where they might have a lot of difficulty trying to get Adam and Dane out of this house. And it's really starting to look like they might be stuck in a situation where they get to Final Four with those two guys. And those two guys are so good at this. It's really going to be difficult for them to have much of a shot against them. If anything, taking the shot against them early might make things worse for them because it opens Adam and Dane up to taking a shot back early. And so that's very tricky. And then add on top of all of that, something that I talked about this morning is that Adam is talking about trying to make a Final Three with Damian and Dane, that in order to lock Damian up in the event that Damian wins the double eviction, so that Damian aims his shot over at Mark and Anthony as opposed to Adam and Dane. And you're really looking like those two guys are really cornered at this point. And it's, you know, they're going to have to beast their way out, beating both Adam and Dane, who have dominated the competitions, if they want any chance of winning this thing, Matt.
If Damian wins, I think 100%, or I give myself 99%, so I have that 1% out, that I think he's going after Mark first and foremost. He's been pissed at Mark since last week. You know, this is your big move, you know, and all that blow up that happened. So if Corey hadn't been put on the block because of the secret assassin, Damian was out of the game. So I think Damian has to be looking at Mark as his number one threat here. And Adam, you know, I was saying on Thursday night that I really wish that Adam hadn't put Damian on the block. I think that they were building something, and I think Mark was the easy option to go on the block. You know, he was just, I guess, trying to play it off as, well, I don't want Mark to win the veto, but, you know, there's one person that's not going to play in the comp anyway. So, you know, what are the odds worth, you know, pissing off Damian potentially? But I guess he ended up not pissing off Damian. Damian wasn't too mad about it. And Damian did come off the block. And Adam was like, this is perfect. It's exactly what I hoped would happen. So I have to imagine that Damian's not too mad at Adam about it, because obviously it's working out in his favor. So I would say that it's pretty likely that shot would be directed towards Mark and Anthony as the nominations.
There you go. So that's what I believe that's what we got for you, unless there's anything else that you guys want to bring up before we wrap this podcast up here.
You really didn't want to talk about Marcia. I just realized we didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
It was a task. It was a Marcia task. We miss our Marcia. I just wish it was something less gross than this. But
yeah, it's the putting the teeth in the drink thing that
that's what did it
right out of his mouth.
Yeah,
like no,
that mine was when Esty put it in her mouth. That
yeah, but at least that was consensual. You know.
I just couldn't.
I was shaking my camera. The best one for me was Kira thinking that they ate in teeth and oh no, there's something in my throat. You used crunchy peanut butter, right? I just bit into something. Like, gross.
Adam that whole time was like, that's not how it works. It's not going to melt the wire in the thing.
But 12 minutes in the oven on 325.
Yeah,
I don't think that's gonna happen.
And like, even after Dane reveals that it was a task, Kira's like, "You didn't really put the teeth in there, though, did you?" No.
And then comes Adam with the scientific facts,
complete with Marcia calling Dane out for how smelly he makes the Leon's lounge. So glad he got called out for that one.
Glad I had to be reminded about it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
That's thanks for coming, Marcia.
Yeah. There you go.
I used to think that they just picked someone random who happened to enter that room. Now, seeing the blacked out tooth on Marcia, now we know it's completely staged.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
No, they obviously have to go for anybody left that they can find any kind of like comedic value in. And Dane is literally the only option that I could see. On sure. There's nobody else they could have gone to that would have given them, you know, somewhat entertaining, of a task.
Could you imagine giving Anthony a task? He just goes so far overboard.
He wouldn't know what to do with it. Like, he would just, I mean, obviously it would be something different than teeth, but he would just, I don't know, it would not be good. It wouldn't be worth it.
Just eat the cookies. I told you, I put something in it. Just do it.
It's like, just dump sugar into somebody's drink. And like, what if I poison them?
Yeah.
And what if Adam I used rat poison?
So.
Yeah.
Good for Dane. Happy you got to kiss Marcia.
Yeah. Finally getting some action.
Mm-hmm.
He's been asking for it all season long.
All
right, that's what we've got for you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As I mentioned before, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Terran. Matt is at Matt Ligori. Bobby is at Goodsby Bobby.
Yes, Goodsby Bobby.
There you go. And I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything happening today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then Tuesday night, we'll have the roundtable. Thursday night, we will get a recap for the double eviction. So tune in for that. We'll be we might see some crazy stuff go down. Mark wins that thing. You never know. But that's what we've got for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely evening. And I will see you next time.